It's part of what the Department of Homeland Security is calling basically a sweeping reform of immigration detention policy, and essentially it's how they're going to house illegal immigrants who are awaiting deportation. They want to overhaul how that's being done. What they want to do now is shift some of these illegals who are waiting for deportation, who are not deemed flight risks and who don't have criminal records, into places that may be more humane or may treat them a little bit better than the jails and prisons where they've been kept. They've had problems there. We interviewed an ACLU official who said there have been 90 detainee deaths since 2003. And there have been issues with some of the children. Actually, some of these prisons and jails have housed children as well as their parents and their mothers and fathers. And there have been questions about whether the children are getting adequate schooling when they're in these jails, and whether the overall physical conditions are what they should have been. So those questions and some of the troubling answers that they got have led DHS officials to say, look, we need to find a way to house the people who are not maybe the hardened criminals, not the people who are in danger of fleeing, in places that may be just a little bit more compatible with them. And what they're looking at is putting them into converted hotels, converted houses, and possibly facilities that used to be nursing homes, to have them wait at those places until they're effectively deported.
So it's a matter of matching the right holding area to the right type of person who maybe would belong there. You certainly don't want to house children of illegal immigrants with adults. That seems wholly inappropriate.
Well, you don't want to do that. You also don't want to house them with criminals, and you don't want to put them, you know, in places that may, I mean, there have been issues with them in one particular jail in Texas where they had open toilets and they had them in cells. I mean, this is, you know, some people had looked at that and thought that the conditions were just a little bit too harsh to put children in. They have since moved families out of that facility in Texas and are housing only women detainees who are waiting to get deported. So they are taking some steps. They've already also put some of the illegals in a converted nursing home in Pennsylvania and a converted hotel in Florida. Now, some people who advocate tougher immigration standards are arguing, look, first of all, what is the security situation at these places? Are they going to allow these people to kind of roam free and potentially leave? Or there are going to be security personnel around these areas? They have big questions about that. Now, DHS officials have assured us that they will have security perimeters and security personnel in place. But, you know, people who are against this are saying, look, another issue is that they may hire private contractors to handle this, and that opens up a real can of worms as far as corruption, mismanagement. This plan is certainly has some flaws in their eyes.
And another story that you've been covering is the G20, the twittering anarchy story.
Yes.
How does that stand as an anarchist type tool?
Well, Pittsburgh police and actually Pennsylvania State police busted two self-proclaimed political anarchists during the G20 a couple of weeks ago. They were at a hotel outside Pittsburgh, and according to court documents that we saw and the police complaint that we reviewed, the police busted in and found these two guys who are self-proclaimed political anarchists. They were observed sitting in front of telecommunications equipment. They were using Twitter. They were sitting in front of maps, wearing headphones, using computers, and according to the police, were using all those things to direct protesters to avoid being busted by the police during the protests. Now, we did speak to the lawyer of one of these men, and he's saying that his client and the other man are denying any wrongdoing. That what they were monitoring was police information that was being put out on the internet about protesters' movements. So all that is public information. And this lawyer also says that they were only exercising their right to free speech. He says, what's illegal about them twittering and using cell phones to talk to other people? There's nothing illegal about that. So this really could come down to a case of, could you actually be found guilty, or could there be a legal problem with you just calling someone on a cell phone or twittering them about where you think the police might happen to be? They were charged a few days ago. They are awaiting, I guess, some hearings on this. One of them had his home searched last week, in which a lot of items were taken. But where it goes from here, you know, as far as how it's going to be challenged in court and how it may play out in court, I mean, this could go a long way in the court system. This could be a really serious legal tangle that I'm not saying it's going to go to the Supreme Court, but, I mean, as Jeffrey Toobin, our legal analyst, told us, this is going to test of whether new communications technologies are instruments of free speech or of illegality. The police say they did this after a, quote, lawful order to disperse, meaning they violated that order, so that's where their legal entanglement comes. But again, you know, you have to ask whether just using Twitter to say, hey, I think the cops are on this street, is in any way illegal, or is that free speech? I think it's going to be a very interesting legal argument.